What were you doing 17 years ago?
Bring it.
Were you getting jiggy with it, like Will Smith? Come on, be honest now. What? You know who else was getting jiggy with it? A bunch of cicadas. They were mating. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're going to try to answer everyone's most pressing questions about the cicadas that have emerged for the first time in 17 years. Mary McCoy is here to talk with us. She's a professor emeritus from Washburn University's biology department, and her email address refers to Bugs McCoy. Mary, are you Bugs McCoy?
Yeah, I am, Gina. Absolutely.
I might have guessed that because you have arrived with pins on your shirt that have cicadas on them. And in fact, you have brought cicadas to the studio.
Yes, I thought it'd be good to have a visual aid on the radio.
I'm looking at these cicadas. They're sitting in a Tupperware with a little bit of an opening, I'm guessing for air. And they've got, it looks like tissues and plant life and all sorts of things. But I'm surprised they're very small. They're, I would guess, like a 3/4 inch with an orange stripe that's quite fetching.
Yes, good. So the 17-year cicadas are much smaller than our annual cicadas. The annual ones may be 2 inches, 2 1/4. These guys, the most common species is 0.8 inch. So they're much smaller. And you're correct, they look really different. They have black bodies, bright red eyes, and then orange veins on their wings.
I couldn't even see the eyes from where I'm sitting, so I'll have to take a closer look later. These 17-year cicadas are swarming some parts of the city. At least that's what I hear. But other parts of the metro, such as where I live, haven't gotten any action at all. According to reports from our listeners, no cicadas in Fairway or Overland Park, but they've made it as far south as Stillwell, and they're chirping away in Lee's Summit and north of the river. How do you explain that?
Well, I'm sorry for Fairway and all of those Overland Park areas that are missing them. They're missing a treat. They come out in large numbers. You can determine where they're coming out because there are holes in the ground. For this species right now, the 17-year, those holes are about half the size of a dime. And so that's where they've been living for 17 years. Then they fly around.
Why do they live underground for so long?
They live underground so long because there are different hypotheses about this, but the main idea is that by being there so long, they overwhelm their predators when they come out in something we'd call predator satiation. And the predators are not going to be standing there saying, "Oh yeah, I remember when this happened 17 years ago."
And they're out of practice.
That's correct. And everything eats these things, by the way. So dogs and cats and squirrels and foxes and coyotes and birds, lots of birds and other insects and on and on. So presumably this is this predator satiation may prevent their being assuming anyone is planning on their being there at that particular time. Now, it's not as if they sit around in a committee meeting and say, let's do this. There's a strong evolutionary drive to have produced this particular strategy, and it's a rare one, very rare.
Okay, so I sort of sidetracked you because you were explaining why we're seeing them in some parts of town and not others.
Okay, sure. So they fly around in different areas. They're not very strong flyers compared to our annual cicadas, but they'll sing in a really loud sound, as we've been hearing, and then they tend to be very active and fly around in the tree that they're in, and they may fly to other trees. And so they're moving around. I had a huge amount of them emerge in my yard in Lawrence under a giant cottonwood tree, and they've been gone for some time.
So is there a chance that they're going to come to the places where people haven't yet heard them, or is it winding down to the extent that if you haven't heard them yet, you're probably not going to?
It's definitely winding down. I think that by the end of June, they're going to be gone. The adults live 3 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And they started emerging the last week of May, and then they're going to reproduce and make all this racket and die after that 17-year-long hiatus under the ground.
What is the official name of the cicada we're talking about? It's not really called the 17-year cicada. That's just a description of our own fascination.
Yeah, that's a common name, 17-year cicada or periodical cicada. The genus and species, it has a wonderful genus name that is Magic Cicada, M-A-G-I-C-I-C-A-D-A, Magic Cicada. And there are two species in our area, and 99% of them are Cassini, C-A-S-S-I-N-I. And the other species, of which they're only 1%, is, I love this species name, it's Septendecim, which is 7 and 10, Septendecim.
Wow, so it is really kind of, if you're translating from Latin, 17-year cicada.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Tell me more about their existence underground, because I find that hard to imagine. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot about the life of a cicada I can't imagine, but... What are they doing under there?
Well, they're feeding and they're growing. So right now the females and males are mating and the females are laying eggs. And so we'll start at that point. And I'll have some interesting things to say about that perhaps later. But in 6 to 10 weeks, those eggs are going to hatch. So they're laying the eggs in the terminal parts of branches, the last 6 inches or a foot or so. And you can see little Y-shaped structures on those branches where they're laying their eggs. And in time, those branches may droop and turn brown, and that's called flagging. So you can start looking around for these trees that have these brown tips of their branches. Now, it's not going to hurt the tree. It's just like a little pruning. But that will indicate that there are have been overpositioning of the females there. And so in 6 to 10 weeks, those eggs are going to hatch, and these little tiny baby cicadas are going to drift down. And I want everybody to appreciate that in July, when you're walking around under trees, there may be little tiny things the size of a grain of rice floating down to the ground. They're white, tiny, they have huge front claws, and they're going to dig into the ground. And they've got quite a task ahead of them. So they're going to dig down, and they'll get to ultimately some tree root. Well, with their front claws.
Okay.
And cicadas have huge front claws.
But I'm picturing something the size of a grain of rice. I mean, I guess.
I know.
I guess they just dig slowly.
This is tough. And they may have obstacles, the biggest one of which would be pesticides that are on the ground underneath the tree. So they'll dig down and find a tree root and attach to it. They have piercing, sucking mouth parts. And so they'll pierce into the wood of the root, and they pierce into what are called the xylem vessels. And xylem carries mainly water and ions as opposed to phloem, which carries big organic molecules. And this is one hypothesis as to why they develop so slowly, because they're feeding on not a very nutritional part of the plant. So they hook into this. Well, they're tiny, and 17 years ago, they come out like these tank-like structures that you see. So what happens? What happens is that they feed, and then they have to get bigger. Now, Gina, if your skeleton were on the outside of your body,
I'm imagining
how would you get bigger?
Let's see. I don't know the answer to this, and I want to preface my theory with that, but I'm thinking about how, like, bridges have joints and they can, like, expand and contract.
Oh, I like that. That's very creative.
Could I have a thing like that with my exoskeleton?
Yeah, maybe. And this is an exoskeleton, meaning an external skeleton. We have an internal one. Well, what insects do is...
I think I was wrong.
Yeah, but I love your idea. And, you know, it may be going on out there. You never know. And so what they do is they have to split out of that exoskeleton, crawl out of it, just like we're seeing the adults emerge out of the nymphs, the immature stage that come out. They crawl out and they get bigger in a hurry. They expand themselves and then they form another exoskeleton. And they have to be very well organized, by the way, because they have to have that new skin all ready to go before they hatch out. And they do that 5 times. And so they feed and they molt and feed and molt for 5 times.
So, okay. So, but they can just leave their exoskeletons for a little while?
Yeah, internal. You mean when they're under the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just, I don't know. They put them in the closet. I don't know what they do with them.
Skeletons in the closet takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, very good.
Well, so how are these guys different from the cicadas that come out every year?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are called the annual cicadas. There are three main species here. And they're, as we mentioned already, they're bigger, 2 inches. They're green and brown and black and kind of camouflage colored. They come out in July and August. And so very different, both in appearance and in timing.
Mary, I want to jump in because I had been trying to figure out what this noise was that I was hearing faintly, and I've realized that it's the cicadas that you've brought with you. And I wonder if our listeners can hear it. They might not be able to. Would you mind holding those up to the microphone so that people can hear what I'm hearing?
Gina, I just happened to bring cicadas just for you. And I'm going to pull them out, and I have a net in case they get loose here in the room.
Okay.
All right. So here we go.
I like that you brought your own net.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Uh-oh. All right. I lost one already. It's somewhere down on the floor.
I'm not bug phobic, so this will be okay.
Okay. Now, this is a little annoyance call that they're giving. They don't like this. I'm just picking them up, and they're talking into the microphone. Hello out there.
We could probably set them back now.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that we got to give people a taste. So
yeah.
We're talking about the differences between these cicadas and other cicadas. Can you tell me the sound that we just heard? How is that sound different from it? Would people be able to tell the difference between that and the other sound they're more used to hearing?
Yes, indeed. So Cassini, the magic cicada Cassini, which is this major species, it's down here if you want to grab it, has a loud buzz. The other one, of which you're doing a great job.
Our producer, Matthew Long Middleton, is catching the cicada.
Matthew's picking up the cicada off the floor. Okay, cool.
Thank you, Matthew.
Very good job. And so, and then the males make this sound for the 17-year cicada, and there are also some clicks. And this is an aggregation call. It's saying, basically, come on in, let's party. And the males are the only ones that make this sound. And so it's going to draw other males in. They have a big hollow abdomen, by the way, and an intricate device that I won't try to describe that makes the sound. But the hollow abdomen acts like a drum, and it resonates, and it makes the sound. So that attracts other males, and it attracts females. And so they all come together in this big confab so that they can all be together. And then the females just click. They go. And it's very exciting.
And I think I have been hearing that through the show a little bit.
Yeah. And I should say, before I forget, they also have an alarm call. So if a wasp or a dog picks them up, they make that noise that you just heard at that point. I was at a friend's house the other night. At 6:30, we went in, and there were cicadas all over an ash tree. They were flying in and out. They were making all this racket, and it was great. At 8:30, I came out, and all I heard was, and I think it was the female saying, I'm so glad it's quiet, or whatever they say after all of this goes on. So.
That's funny. Well, 17 years ago, last time this particular kind of cicada emerged, did you study them then?
Yes, I sort of. So this is a really interesting thing that I have enjoyed this so much, Gina, because I have learned a lot about them this particular time. So I'm an entomologist, studied a lot of these things, but this time they started emerging right in my yard. I went out, I took photos, I took notes, I made counts. I've been all over in Lawrence looking for the different areas where these things exist. And I've learned so much about them. It's been a really fun, basic biological experience. And I encourage everybody, this is what biologists do. Because the more you learn about something, the more interesting it is. And I used to keep telling my students that. Learn more, you'll get more interested. And if you're more interested, you'll care about it more. And maybe you'll work to protect it.
What's something that you've observed this time around that surprised you, even being an entomologist?
I watched a lot of closely a lot of them emerging from their exoskeleton into their adult form. So the nymphs, as we call them, the immatures, crawl up on and get a perch with these big front claws, and there's a split that goes down their back, just like the immatures. And then the adult slowly emerges out of that. It has a little balloon-like structure that fills up, and you can see that helping to push it out. It comes out of there. It's white. It's very delicate. It hangs there in this white, very vulnerable stage. Then it has to expand its wings, and they're all crumpled up. And you may see cicadas that didn't expand their wings properly. And I've been putting those over on the tree. I have to save them, and I'm probably affecting the gene pool. But anyway, they pump blood into their wings and very slowly expand their wings. And in about an hour, they're hard and dark, but they're not hard enough to be able to reproduce very much or fly or sing, as we call it. And so it's going to be 4 or 5 days after they emerge before they will actually start doing all of the singing. And of course, that's and mating. And that's what we're getting right now.
That's really cool. How are cicadas viewed in other cultures?
I think they occur around the world. There are 2,500, 3,000 species, and they're often treated with great respect. They're in Japan, where I've been. The people look at them as aspects of longevity and reincarnation, even, and they collect them and have great respect. There's a lot of wonderful art. There's haiku about cicadas, and the Egyptians revered them and buried their stone copies of them with bodies and things like that.
When some 13-year cicadas emerged in 2011, an ice cream shop in Columbia, Missouri got creative and made cicada ice cream. It was really popular until the health department advised them to stop. Yeah. So my question is, would you eat a cicada, and why or why not?
Well, I did eat a cicada, in fact, several, because we had a cicada-eating entomophagy extravaganza in Lawrence a couple of weeks ago.
I go to those all the time.
Yeah, I know, and well, you should. And so what they did in that case was to very carefully catch the cicadas right when they came up out of the ground. Number two, they made sure they were coming out of the ground in an area where pesticides have never been sprayed, and so they were on preserves. And then it's okay. But you have to be very careful about eating insects, and I want to warn everybody about this because I know you'll all be wanting to do this, that have just been caught out in the field, because they may be full of pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, et cetera, not safe to eat.
Yeah, you don't know where they've been.
That's right.
How did they taste?
I prefer mealworms.
How much longer should people expect to be seeing these cicadas? How long before this experience is over for us this summer?
So the adults started emerging in late May. Last week of May, you're going to be seeing them through June, and 3 to 4 weeks, 6 weeks maybe, and that's it. So I'd say by the end of June.
Mary McCoy, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Mary McCoy, or Bugs for short, is a retired professor from Washburn University's biology department, and she's brought cicadas along, thanks to the cicadas too. When we return, it's our podcast review show, Audiophiles. Call us up to tell us what you're listening to and how you're listening to it. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay with us.